We long to get married. We plan the wedding. But what happens when the honeymoon is over?
Today on Real Family Talk, we'll explore 6 reasons spouses fall out of love and how to keep your marriage strong long after the honeymoon ends.
Welcome to Real Family Talk. I'm Willie Oliver.
And I'm Elaine Oliver.
This is a program about strengthening families and inspiring hope.
It gives us a place to talk about family dynamics and share tools to strengthen our marriages and families.
I often like to say when we have strong marriages, we're more likely to have strong families, strong churches, and strong communities.
One thing I've learned in all our years of leading marriage conferences and counseling couples is that despite all the bad press about marriage, people still grow up and want to get married. But once you get married and you've spent all the money on the wedding, is it really possible to stay married and happily so? What happens when the honeymoon is over?
To help us explore this topic, we've invited our friends Mike and Gail Tucker to join us. Mike is the speaker director for Faith for Today Television, the oldest religious television broadcast in the world. He's a pastor, author, counselor, Bible teacher, chaplain, and husband to Gail. She also has devoted her life to ministry as a pastor and elementary school educator. She now serves as associate director of Faith for Today. And she and Mike also host a show called Mad About Marriage. Welcome, Mike and Gail.
Thank you so much.
Good to be with you guys.
We're glad you're here.
It's a pleasure.
We're always happy to see you.
Yeah. Well, we have a lot of history together.
Yeah, yes, we do.
That's a definition of a friend, is someone who's always happy to see you and has no immediate plans for your improvement.
That's right.
This is true.
Isn't that great?
That's right. Exactly.
Well, we're going to be talking here about when the honeymoon is over. Yeah. And what do you want to ask them first?
Well, honeymoons are interesting things.
You usually learn a lot. Yeah.
That can be a eye opener, yeah.
Well, you know, I was thinking of asking Willie if he still loved me.
Yeah.
But, you know, sweetheart, do you still love me?
I'm not sure what to say. Well, of course I love you. 28 years of marriage? I mean, when I change my mind, I'll let you know. Yeah.
That's great.
Tell us briefly about your marriage ministries and what is it you're doing with marriage right now.
Well, we've created a television program called Mad About Marriage, and we've linked that program with live events, and now we're creating follow-up material for the live events. So in other words, we'll have a show that is aired in a particular city. We'll come into the city and do a live event, a live seminar.
A marriage conference?
A marriage conference. And then from that, we're also creating follow-up material so that a local church or community can begin to do some follow-up work with some of the DVDs from the shows, as well as some couples guides that will help them learn more about marriage in the weeks that follow.
So what I'm hearing you say is that when you're done with that, you leave materials
and
leave some training behind so couples can follow up and get stronger.
And build
on what you've already
said. That's right. Yeah. We want it to be a threefold mission with the television program, the two of us doing a seminar, and then with the local churches doing follow-up.
Because you can only spread yourself. But, you know, one of the things that's always impressed us about both of you is your passion for marriage. Mm-hmm. What is it about marriage that intrigues you so much, other than the fact that you've been married for 37 years.
Well, I think really that's the foundation of it, the fact that marriage has been such a blessing for us.
It has.
We feel like God put us together and he has blessed us throughout the years. You know, in spite of the ups and downs that everyone has, it's just been a wonderful thing to, as they say, have a witness to your life. Someone with whom you can move through life.
Yes.
And you can experience all of the things that it entails, you know, the births, the deaths, the in-laws, the moves, the jobs, everything. Mm-hmm. But to do it together. And because that has been a blessing to us, We have wanted to explore ways to help other people make it a full experience for themselves.
And like you, as counselors, you've also seen people whose lives are really in a lot of pain because of a bad marriage.
Yeah.
And you don't want to see people live that way. You know, right. God wants something better for us. He has something positive and hope-filled and love-filled in store for us. And so we do know that there are keys that we can share with people. You guys do that all the time in order to help them flip the switch.
Yeah.
You know, our show is entitled Mad About Marriage. We ask, are you madly in love or just plain mad?
Yeah. Right.
You know, but you can flip
a
switch.
It's one or the other, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
that's right.
And it may start out one way in the morning, and by the evening,
you want to kill each other.
That's right.
You're madly in love in the morning, and then you want to strangle each other.
So we do want to share those, some relationship principles that can help you flip that switch and find the love that, God intends for you to have.
You know, there's something that you said that I find interesting, and I believe in it, and I'm happy that you've said it, because it's important for our viewing audience to know that. You said, you know, that you've been married for 37 years and with the ups and downs.
Yes.
And the reality is, every marriage, it doesn't matter how good it is, 37 years for you, 28 for us, there are ups and downs.
You bet there
Everybody's going to have the ups and downs. But the fact is, despite the ups and downs, marriage can work.
Yes,
that's right.
And can work effectively. There's something else that you said, Mike, just now, and that is, well, there's some marriages in pain.
Yes.
And people often think that if their marriage is in pain, to fix it, you get out of the marriage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there's another alternative, and that is fix the pain and stay in your marriage.
That's right.
Since we know that first marriages have the best chance of making it.
That's right.
If you've been married a second time, your chances of divorce are higher.
Much higher.
That's right.
And if you're married a third time,
even higher. Yet.
Even higher. So getting divorced and remarrying is not the answer.
No, it's not.
You know, if someone is not killing you and if someone is not having an affair, fix the pain.
Yeah.
And it's fixable.
And by getting out, we never really learn to fix our love problems.
Yes.
Because the truth is, it's not just your spouse that is the problem.
Right.
Yes. It's you.
Right.
You
right.
too.
Yes.
Right.
And so you won't ever learn that, and you won't ever fix what's wrong if you just keep getting out of it.
Yeah, it's so difficult, though. Have you found that in counseling people that... people will say, but I'm the victim.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I've been the good spouse. I've done all this. And, you know, my spouse is not following up. And oftentimes people will say, well, he had the problem or she had the problem. And so I'm going to move forward. And it's that reluctance to do self-assessment.
Yes.
And to figure out how can I contribute better to my next relationship.
And the truth is, in some marriages, you may be the victim. But that doesn't mean that you haven't done some things wrong yourself.
Yes. There you go. Exactly.
You know? If you're as human as I am, and most people tend to be, then you've made some contributions to the dysfunction of this marriage along with your spouse.
Yeah.
Now, is it 50-50? Is it 60-40? 70-30? Doesn't really matter,
does it? Right.
If you're in pain, let's fix what you can fix and pray by God's grace that your spouse will fix what they can fix.
Yeah, terrific. We're talking about what happens when the honeymoon is over and what contributes to a spouse feeling that he or she has fallen out of love. After the break, we'll talk more with Mike and Gil Tucker. Stay with us.
Today on Real Family Talk, we're talking with Mike and Gail Tucker, who blog about marriage and say falling out of love is a choice and not just an emotional state. They recently posted several reasons they believe contribute to a spouse feeling that he or she has fallen out of love.
Well, here's what you say in that blog. One of the most common reasons given for why one or both spouses were unfaithful and had an affair is that they had fallen out of love.
Mm.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah. You've lost that loving feeling. You know, there's so many songs that come to mind you've lost that loving feeling. You know, those kinds of things hit you, and that's what you hear people say. I just don't feel the same way.
Yeah.
It's too difficult now. It's painful.
Well, and I think that's what popular culture tells us, is that you're supposed to feel a certain way. You're supposed to feel.
Feeling.
Yeah. You're supposed, and your spouse is always supposed to do all these fancy things for you, and you're supposed to have this ecstatic feeling of love that never changes, never goes away. And that's not
It's always realistic. A high. You
know? Yeah.
It's always
basically, a high. That would kill you.
Yeah. Nobody can stay up all the time.
No. Yeah. And then you would never really experience that true level of intimacy.
That's right.
Right? I mean, if we were always just at this very, it's almost superficial.
Yes.
If you will, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, when we first fall in love.
Yeah.
There is that emotional high, right? And so you're doing things that are really not totally natural.
No, that's right.
Right. And the focus is totally on each other, you know.
And how I feel.
Yeah. when you move into married life, you've got all kinds of things to take care of. You've got jobs and children and everything in day-to-day
life. And garbage to take out.
Right. Between us now.
And so we think, he's not bringing me flowers every day, and there aren't the long phone calls, and there's not all of these things. And so we must not be in love anymore.
Mm-hmm. And there are dishes to wash.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a bummer, you know.
And that garbage keeps stacking up. No one's mowed the yard.
Right. Clothes to wash.
And, that's right. And those kids are driving me crazy.
God forbid if you have children, you know, and somebody gets a cold, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, noses to wipe.
Or worse yet, the flu. You know. Yeah, and it really breaks loose.
Day-to-day life is not exactly romantic.
Glamorous.
No, it's not glamorous. That's probably the better word.
Yeah.
Right. It can be romantic, though, I think. Yeah. And our romance is a little bit different, I think, as we begin to move through life.
In fact, if romantic love is the basis of your marriage, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
It has to die as the basis of the marriage, and you have to move to friendship and commitment love.
Okay.
Now, friendship and commitment lovers know how to use romance better than romantic lovers do. They know when to use it.
Yes.
But it cannot be the basis of your marriage. It's got to be a commitment and a friendship, a genuine liking of one another.
Because the fact is, we're not perfect.
No.
Yeah. And so we're going to say something or do something that really ticks off the other person.
Yeah.
At some point.
Or just plain goofy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether or not you mean to hurt or not to hurt, it's going to happen.
Yeah. It is.
Well, we want to go right to your blog again.
Yes.
You have 6 contributing factors to a spouse feeling that he or she has fallen out of love.
Mm-hmm.
Let's walk through them. What's factor number one? They want the fairy tale romance that is often portrayed in movies and books, and you've kind of spoken about that just now.
Yeah, you know, when you watch the movies, when you see the television screen, you see something portrayed that is just not realistic.
Yes.
It's just not realistic at all, because the truth is that we all exist in what we call the straight life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we've just described that with the taking out of the trash and the paying the bills and everything. And there's nothing particularly glamorous about that.
Nothing at all.
Right, right.
You know, now
you don't wake up in the morning with your hair done and you know, every hair is in place and, you know, your face looks wonderfully
done. You know, what the makeup artist does back here.
Right.
That's just real life, isn't it? It is. And so if that doesn't happen for you, if it's not the fairy tale romance, then a lot of people think, well, then I must have married the wrong person.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is not right. This is not how it's supposed to be. And the truth is, this is how it's supposed to be.
This is how it's supposed to be.
Right. So deal with it.
That's reality.
Right. Well, someone said love is blind, but marriage is a real eye-opener.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like the rose-colored glasses come off and you see the real person.
And I like to say, while love is blind, we should get married with our eyes wide open.
Yes, that's right.
And that is true.
Yes.
That's
that
right.
So number two, bitterness and holding grudges.
Mm.
Tell us about that.
A failure to forgive is carrying that load of bitterness just crowds out all the room for creativity, for love, for intimacy, because I'm so consumed by the bitterness and by the anger. Mm-hmm. We've got to develop a short memory to make marriage work.
Mm-hmm.
Learn to forgive quickly.
Well, we talked in another show about keeping a scorecard, you know.
Yeah.
And when I am busy saying, well, look, here's what you did, here's what you did.
And that's a long
look
list.
At all these, you know, making a list here, then I'm saying, okay, I don't really owe you anything because look at all you've done against me.
Mm-hmm. I've got carte blanche. I can do anything I want.
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
And that just divides the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
So grudges, saying, you know, I'm going to keep score. I'm never going to let go of this. You will never live this down.
Nothing kills a marriage quicker
than
that.
No, it won't kill them. And you hurt yourself by that as well.
Of course.
Because you're never going to have intimacy with that person. You've taught them a lesson, you know.
So it really builds a barrier.
And you've taught yourself a lesson.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
In fact, anyone viewing this, if you're holding something over your spouse's head, if you're holding a grudge, you will never know intimacy. Okay. It will not happen. You will never have the marriage you want. You are preventing it right now by holding that resentment.
It sucks out all the joy from your relationship.
The marriage is dead.
Yes.
Yeah. And is that because of the lack of forgiveness?
Yes. We have to learn how to forgive. In fact, you know, the only requirement for you being forgiven by God is that you pass it along to others.
Yes.
You know, that you forgive others
as he has forgiven us.
And that is a
That's right.
prayer.
But, you know, I think That's often right. with that, we forget the fact that we're saying, okay, well, I have to forgive or God's not going to forgive me. The point is that God gives you the grace to forgive.
Yes.
He gives you that forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. So the ability to be able to
The ability, yeah. you know, he takes it from your heart if you're just willing to hand it to him and say, all right, Lord, this is yours, not mine.
And that may not happen in a moment. It may be a process you step into in order to work through it. But as long as you're in the process working to the point of forgiveness, you're doing the right thing.
Right. And I love what Lewis Mead Smith says about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, about when we forgive, when we take those steps, as difficult as it might be, then we begin healing.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
but
if we wait to heal and then forgive, it may never happen.
Those steps that he talks about are hurt, you know, to feel the pain and then
hate.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So to acknowledge the fact that you have these bad feelings toward the other person, and then the healing.
And then harmony.
And then coming back
into
harmony.
Yeah.
Number
three,
they say in your blog that, we're falling out of love because our parents had a bad marriage.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Truth is that the only pattern of marriage that you've ever seen up close and personal is your home of origin.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if that was severely flawed, you don't know how to do marriage.
Right.
You know, you learn to do marriage from your home of origin.
Yes.
And so it is true that if indeed that's the only thing you've ever seen, intimacy is going to be difficult for you to attain, and you're going to be difficult to have those feelings. So broaden the scope. Broaden who you look at. Don't just look at this one flawed relationship. Let's find others.
And don't use it as an excuse.
That's right.
Say, well, you know, I'm predisposed to this. I have a higher risk factor. Mm. That's not an excuse because you also still have the power of choice and you have the ability to learn, you know, to gain new knowledge.
And to get help.
Absolutely.
To get help. And,
yes.
and again, if we're willing to do that self-assessment and we know our family of origin was pretty messed up, you know, and so it means that I am predisposed, so I need to get help, right?
Hold that thought. There are great points, and there's more to come after the break. Stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Real Family Talk. So today we're talking with Mike and Gail Tucker about why people feel they've fallen out of love. So we were talking a little bit about forgiveness, but now we want to talk a little bit about those little things that we once thought were cute, you know, and now all of a sudden they are repulsive to us.
It's like she loved him because he was so fun and spontaneous, and now those same things seem very irresponsible and immature. You know, he just wants to go and do whatever's fun, and she wants him to take the trash out.
Pay the bills.
And he was drawn to her because she was a take charge kind of a girl, and she was smart, and now she's just controlling and know-it-all, you know?
So like a drill sergeant.
That's right.
The same qualities somehow turn, and we begin to look at them in a different way when we're up against them every single day.
Right. Okay, so now you guys have been around hundreds, maybe even thousands of couples now, right? And what percentage, just offhand, would you say this happens to?
Oh, 90, 95, 98.
And when you work
everybody.
When
I know why Elaine is asking. There are those who are about to get married, and they say, that's never going to happen to us.
No, that's not going to. I mean, we've carefully. So I just wanted
good luck
to get
that
out there.
Well, the reality is, before we get married, opposites attract.
Yes, they do.
And after we get married, opposites repel.
Repel.
Because the very things that we really fell in love with are the things we despise.
Yeah. The truth is, Gail is more of an introvert. I enter a room mouth first. I know you've never seen that in me.
No.
Never noticed.
So I'm the extrovert. Well, you know, that was fun when we were dating, but now I can embarrass her at a moment's notice. You know, he really said that in public in front of all those people?
Did you have to?
No, seriously.
Tell that story again.
So, you know, that's true for every marriage. Yeah. Ours not excluded.
Right.
Everyone goes through this.
Yeah.
The key, I think, comes in reframing your attitude towards those things that are different. Because what drew me to Gail was the fact that she's the rock. Her emotions are always right here. Now, at times I can get irritated. You know, aren't you excited? Well, yes. Would you notify your face, please? Yeah.
Steady.
Yeah, but she's steady. But she provides solidarity for my life, and I provide a little entertainment for hers.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, that I've learned how to laugh and see humor in things that I never would have seen humor in before because of our marriage. So I think you have to be careful to continue to look at those things as positives, as pluses. You know, they're not everything about their quality is going to be positive, but there is something about it that is a contributing factor for your relationship.
Who you to that person in the first place.
Right, and so I think what you're saying is to remember.
Yes.
You know, remember what it was that brought you together.
Take a
step
back. What
was it that attracted you? Oftentimes when we work with couples that are in distress, you know, we start out first session, tell us what drew you to each other.
Absolutely.
I'm sure you do the same thing.
That's right.
And sometimes there's a long pause.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I can't remember.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And then all of a sudden, they start remembering and they start smiling.
Yes, that's right.
And it's so amazing because, you know, they come in tense and they're very distressed.
Yeah.
And then they start remembering, you know what? There are some good things about this marriage. And there were things that I liked.
I want to go to the next point.
Yeah.
The next point is what you said on your blog is a low self-esteem could be a reason why you've fallen out of love.
Mm-hmm.
What you're feeling before you're no longer feeling.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with one of the spouses.
People who don't feel good about themselves find it difficult to accept the love and affection of another person.
Yes. Mm.
If you don't love yourself, it's difficult for you to love anyone else or to receive someone else's love.
Mm.
And, you know, today, the measurements by which we measure ourselves are forced upon us from outside. Primarily.
Yes.
For men, it has to do with your success in career and the
position. Whether you have a job or not. Yeah.
That's right. Whether you have a job and how much you're paid.
That's
and
right.
Those kinds of things. You know, some of those things you can control and some of them you really can't, especially not in a bad economy. Mm-hmm. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the only measurement of your self-esteem, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
We've got to find a place that is more solid. For women, Madison Avenue may paint the picture of what you're supposed to look like.
Right.
You know, without a lot of surgery, not a lot of women look like that. And it's just unrealistic.
Yes.
And it's unhealthy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so if that's the source of your self-esteem, we're all in trouble.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have to find a more valid source for establishing our self-esteem, and that is what God has said about you.
Yes.
He has declared you to be of such great value. He sent Jesus for you.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that wonderful to know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That is the powerful thing about the gospel.
Yes.
That we are so valuable to Jesus Christ that he came to die in our place.
For you.
Mm-hmm. So in marriage, if we're having a bad time, if we've lost our jobs, if things are not going so well, we can focus back on how precious we are to Jesus Christ and what that means.
I think another thing about self-esteem is that we tend to think that it is the responsibility of our spouse to make us happy.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I should feel good about myself because of what, you know,
what
Mike does for me.
Yeah.
How's that working?
And, you know, it works pretty well.
Very nice.
That's good.
That's
why it's 37 years.
Yeah, that's right. But when we have the expectation from another person that they are supposed to be in charge of making us happy, that's not realistic.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I think it's Willie Oliver that says...
over the years, marriage is not to make you happy, it's to make you married.
Yeah.
Only Jesus Christ can make you happy.
He makes you happy.
If you're happy in Jesus and your spouse is happy in Jesus, you have happiness square.
Yeah.
But if you're depending on your spouse to make you happy, you're going to be in trouble.
Yes.
Because you're married to a human being.
Yeah.
Well, we have the idea of a soulmate, you know.
Yeah.
And
that's great, but we think that's supposed to be someone that just, we see them across a room and that's the perfect
some
person.
Some enchanted evening.
Right.
Right. Right. A stranger.
That's right.
Not true.
And we say that soulmates are not found. They're made.
They are made.
We become soulmates.
We choose.
After years.
That's
and we have this attitude of compassion and caring and forgiveness.
Correct.
But going back to the issue of self-esteem, What would you say to someone then who is struggling with, mm-hmm. with low self-esteem? Because that's a huge issue in many marriages. Mm-hmm. People are broken.
Yes, they are.
You know, and we're coming into relationship mm-hmm. with other people who are also broken.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we're depending on them mm-hmm. to fix our brokenness, yeah. to complete yeah. us. Yeah. Again,
that's
another
that whole
falsehood yeah. from, yeah. from
you complete
Hollywood.
Me.
Yeah. You complete me.
Sorry.
And,
yeah.
and I think Nobody we just need to change yeah. our direction, change our focus where we're looking. Don't look to your spouse to do that, but look to the Lord to do that.
Okay.
And as He does, then He gives you the ability also to be more of a boost for your spouse that, yeah. that they need.
See yourself you know? As God sees you.
I want to go to
yeah.
the last one,
yeah.
and
okay.
that is, you know, having a dull marriage mm-hmm. and just killing the whole honeymoon.
Yeah.
Tell us about dullness.
It's so easy to fall into because that's the routine of our lives. There's nothing exciting, as we mentioned before,
yeah.
about taking out the trash and paying right. the bills.
Right.
And it's very easy to fall into that. I think it's important for us to have planned spontaneity.
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah. Like, what do you do?
Yeah.
I mean, don't
yeah.
keep it.
No.
You know.
Well, there are a number of little things. First of all, we have a date night. And so we go out, and the rule there is we don't talk about the children. We don't talk about work. We talk about us. You know,
yeah.
we try to keep things fun and entertaining that
yes.
way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But even just in the little everyday passings of in the house, mm-hmm. we rarely pass each other without touching.
Yeah. And we've been looking not only in our own lives, but with other couples for what we call marriage moments.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And those are the times when you go out of your way to do something to just let your spouse know that they're loved.
That's
and,
wonderful.
And, it, you know, for one couple we talked to, there's a place that she loves to go. She loves to go to this certain restaurant. He hates it.
Yeah.
It's not his thing, but she says, I know he loves me because he'll go there every day and get what I want and bring it to me.
Yeah. yeah.
That's
well, look
wonderful.
At that. Yeah. Look at that. We've been having a wonderful time with Mike and Gil Tucker, but that's all for today's Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll talk more about strengthening families and inspiring hope.